This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast with me, Darren Cullum, and this man, Richard Mellon Esquire.
Hello, Darren.
We are here, so thanks very much for listening to the Referee's World podcast. If you're a new listener, then welcome along. You can listen to us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search for Referee's World, and then you can download this episode and all the other episodes that we've ever done of Referee's World on iTunes right now, okay? Just search Referee's World on iTunes and you'll find us. Otherwise, you can listen online at refereesworld.co.uk. Now, as promised last time, we did say we were going to do a special about the importance of the RA, Rich.
Yes, we did, yeah. And what the RA can provide for referees and the support that it does for those referees and how locally it can help referees progress.
So let's start as we mean to go on, and we'll start with a phone call with the chairman of the RA, the National RA, Albert Asprey. Hello and welcome to Referees World, Albert.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Excellent. First of all, thanks very much for taking the time out to talk to us. Can I start by asking you, Albert, how you got into refereeing yourself?
It's a long time ago now. It's back in 1963 when I was running a club. Not a particularly good player, and in those days we didn't have substitutes, but as a manager aside, I occasionally had to be dropped. Started drawing the line, we didn't get a referee, so I became referee. My players said I was quite good at it, so I just carried on into refereeing and playing at the same time.
And you haven't looked back ever since?
No. No, the club folded a year or two later, as players got married and moved away. So I just carried on refereeing as I've moved around the country with my job.
Well, Albert, this is Richard. Both Darren and I believe in the RA. We're both members of our local RA. We want to see if we can help raise the profile of the RA and get more members in and get everybody buzzing about refereeing again.
Great.
Okay. Can I start then by saying, you're the National RA Chairman. Can you just cover your, in a summary, your role as National RA Chairman?
My job as chairman of the board of the National Referees Association is to actually keep the national body going, to provide the facilities that we do nationally, the insurance policy, the conference, the EVA final rally, and generally make sure that our county referees associations and our local referees associations are working effectively, dealing with representation at the Football Association and taking on board any particular problems that members may have in their refereeing world.
Well, there's a number of challenges in there, and hopefully in our brief chat that we're going to have with you is we'll cover some of those issues as regards the functions and the structure of the RA and how it might sort of develop it for the future. But first of all, I want to kick off the conversation with what are the main attractions of membership for referees?
The main attraction, I think, for joining a referee association is to be amongst a body of people who follow the same hobby, and people you can turn to help develop your career. There's always somebody who's probably experienced whatever it is you've been going through in terms of your refereeing, and so we give a great support, I think, to each other in our roles of referees.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and I will refer to some personal experiences of yourself, myself and Darren, and hopefully listeners will be able to pick up on that and relate to it and realise that we're not just talking about ourselves just so it sounds that we think we're important, but that's not the case. What we want our members to understand, or our colleagues to understand, is the fact that what the RA can actually serve as regards progress for referees.
Yep.
I wonder sometimes, what is it and why do people they decide not to join the RA?
I think the problem, we've got a number of local referee associations that haven't moved with the times in terms of developing what the modern referee needs. As I said, I've been a member of a referee for 50 years. The game has changed dramatically since that time. Changed dramatically in 92 when we started having professional referees, in 97 when mini soccer kicked off, and obviously now in the last two or three years where the rules for under 11 and under 12 football has changed. And of course, the modern referee. We mustn't lose sight of the fact that something like about 25% of people who come into refereeing are now between the ages of 14 and 18.
Okay, just want to go back slightly here. What do you think, if I briefly say, I started refereeing in the mid-80s, you started earlier than myself. Mm. What are the major changes that you see that I can relate to and that others will need to be sort of mindful of? Because there is a trend amongst referees of the older generation whereby there is a suggestion that they will talk about in my day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very mindful about not doing that to my colleagues, and I want to stay up with modern trends. But what is it that people try to relate to when they say, well, in my day, we did this? Because, as you said, the game has massively changed, but there is an element of people that don't move with the times. And how can we encourage them to move on with the times?
I think we have to follow some of the new principles we've tried to develop within the Referees Association. We've now got our new Crestmark system whereby we're trying to get associations to look at in-service training. Obviously, that's related to today's refereeing and not the refereeing that was in existence when I started or when you started. I mean, most of our young referees are out there refereeing youth football. And it's not the players that give them the problems, it's the coaches and managers and spectators that give them the problem. So the difficulty they have is off the field rather than on the field. Most of the football now is not 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
No, that's very true. I mean, it's almost like Sunday through to the end of Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We've also got, you know, small-sided soccer, the five-a-side soccer, that also is growing. The commercial world has moved into the organisation of five-a-side soccer, and of course those people are also referees, and I think we tend in the Referees Association to neglect the needs of people who choose to referee in that arena.
Yeah, Darren's going to ask something here, Albert.
Yeah, we're talking about sort of moving with the times, etc., Albert. What is the RA doing in terms of moving with the times and social media and the way things are conducted on our phones, our iPads, our computers? Because surely that's got to be a big part, and quite possibly with the younger generation, that could be a big draw to keeping them within the RA.
I couldn't agree more. What I'm hoping personally is that the Referees Association will move with those times. And rather than you turning up at your local referees association, on the third Thursday every month and paying somebody in cash, you'll be able to join the Referees Association by use of a credit card centrally. And we'll be able to direct you to your local referees association once you've actually joined us on a central basis. And to that end, at national level, we're seeking to renew, restructure our membership database, which will enable people to do that.
Yeah. And how about the use of mobile phone apps and things as
well? Yeah, we of course have got a Facebook page. We're on Twitter. So we've kept up with those two developments. We haven't moved into the app yet, although we have had a number of people suggest to us that they could produce apps for us. So we will be investigating that, I'm sure, during the course of this year.
Okay, it's interesting to see hear you say that there's a Facebook page and a Twitter, a follow on Twitter for the Referees Association. Relating to that, what do you think the RA could do better?
The RA could do better. It could do better by providing a more enlightened arena for some of our younger members to want to take part. I think we're still very much an old men's club.
Yeah, I do tend to agree with that, and I call it the wire badge brigade because like.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we've got an annual conference, you know, every year.
Yeah.
This July I shall be. I'm already mapping out my chairman's address to that conference, and it will include the phrase that here we are, we've got people, 16 people who've stood up and said, I want a badge, But only two people have stood up and said, I want to come on the board of management for the Referees Association.
I was going to relate to the conference in a couple of moments, but what I'm looking at is I'm mindful that the generations of referees have moved on, but I'm also wanting to make sure that those referees that have had their sort of high profile time in their career will still remain in refereeing and help coach, mentor our new colleagues. Is that something that the RA would be pushing?
Well, most certainly. I mean, my activities outside of the Referees Association are as the academy officer at Southampton Football Club, where I mentor young referees, and I have a whole team of mentors who come down with me there. Sometimes when we're playing under 14, under 15 level, I will have a mentor looking after the referee and another individual mentor looking after both assistant referees and hoping to develop them, build up their skills, build up their abilities as well as sending them out to referee local youth games. And I think the academy football and the mentoring of young referees is an area which the Referees Association just has to get itself more involved in.
Yeah. Can I just ask, before Darren asks his question, there's a link here whereby we would like our young referees to come into the fray with the academy idea and become interested in RA membership. That's got to be a common policy right across the country. Would that be right to say?
Well, it's not unfortunate because a number of academies, you probably appreciate there are different levels of academies in terms of what the Premier League and the Football League have now set up. There are a number of academies where I'm afraid the Referee Association just hasn't got itself involved with properly. And the County Football Association are tending to run them and therefore run the mentoring through the Football Association rather than Referees Association. But in my view, it's the continuity. It's the fact that people who leave my academy, having been mentored, can then be mentored in the local football as well, the local youth football. And we're watching their development, not whilst they're only in the academy environment, but when they're in what I would call the real world environment.
Yeah. Well, whilst you mentioned Southampton Academy, Albert, how in that particular area where you work from, how does a young referee become a member of that academy?
I would identify them in conjunction with our local youth appointment secretary. So sometimes we do this through courses, and we're starting at as young as 7 years of age. So when I've got two under seven teams playing, then I might just say, well, this chap's off a course, can't do a lot of damage in a little mini soccer under seven game. He can come out and at least blow a whistle and put his hand up in the right direction.
Okay.
So, I do tend to start brand new referees on 7, 8, 9-year-olds football.
Well, that was going to be exactly my wording, brand new referees. I mean, if I try to link together Southampton and Somerset FA in this case, what we're trying to do here in our county is trying to get new referees into the academy idea as soon as possible. Do you make it, you pick them, whereas we invite them? What's the best idea, do you think?
I think you have to sort of try and identify people who are going to be capable of refereeing. The problem is a number of people take the new the basic referees course, think it's a great idea, probably get drawn in because there's a chance to earn a bit of money at a very early age, at 14 years of age, but don't necessarily realise all the pitfalls and the problems that referees face, and therefore whilst it might have been attractive for one reason or another, when you're actually out there on the green stuff and somebody's telling you how good or how bad you are, it's not such a good idea, and so therefore people drop out at a very regular rate, but see it as not the idea that they came into. So you have to identify the people who are capable of going on and rising above that. And because in the academy, certainly the one I'm working in, there is no abuse from players, no abuse from coaches either side, and no abuse from spectators. You can build up their confidence before they have to face that reality.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's a responsibility of the football clubs as well to get them to teach the players at a very early age that they're in the same way that it's done in rugby. You know, there's no abuse towards the referee, and if it starts at an early age, then hopefully over a period of time, this should transpire onto the football field when they're older.
Yeah.
Just a quick question here, Albert. Do you think the RA is it regarded as primarily a social organisation or a training and education organisation?
So I think the problem is too many of our people think that it is a social. Let's have a meeting once a month, and aren't we all jolly good boys? I think that's been the thing in the past, and that is where we've not reacted or not responded to the needs of the membership. I think the members, the new referees, want us to be a training and development operation, not a social club operation.
What would you actually expect from a local RA meeting?
I would expect a local referees association meeting to have an element of social intercourse between referees, there to be some support between referees for the older people to recognise the people who need support, and for there to be, at every meeting, a training element. And I don't just mean, a match incident type of training, when people say, oh, this happened to me, what should I do? Because, unfortunately, that just degenerates into a farce of somebody discussing something which is going to happen once in a blue moon, rather than developing people in a more general way to become better referees.
Yeah, Albert, what I find with RA meetings, and this goes back to the time when I first attended my first one in Bridgewater many years ago now, is that there are, there's characters within the associations that like to dominate verbally through their own opinions. And I sit there quietly at meetings, and perhaps I'm giving away a little bit of secret here, and I listen to people and I cringe because they think the meeting is about them and what they do, because none of us are perfect in the refereeing world. We all learn from each other, and we should all sort of share experiences, but there are some people that think their experience is the be-all and end-all of everything. I'm trying to move people on from that idea. And get the younger generation to express themselves and bring their match incidents, their issues, their problems, their questions to the front, and let them decide what the content of the meetings are about. And, you know, I'm mindful that having had my time as secretary and had 10 years as chairman of Bridgewater RA, that I thought my shelf life had passed. And so I thought it was right to pass it on to the next generation of referees coming through.
Yeah. I think that's one particular view. I think another view is that there is a responsibility of those of us who are in the organisation to look at the changes in football, the changes in refereeing, and move with those changes. There've been a dramatic number of changes in the last 15-20 years, which I think we should have moved with, and I'm just hopeful that I have moved with those changes. Certainly, I think the only thing I've missed out on at the moment is the development of futsal refereeing, which unfortunately we don't have any futsal refereeing in my area. But if we did, I would certainly want to be looking at futsal as being an area to move into. So that's the I think that's the responsibility of people who are in roles of responsibility within the referees association, and I think there's also a responsibility on members when they see people dominating, and I go to an awful lot of different societies, and I know people who I've seen for years have dominated a particular society. I think there's a responsibility on other people to get them to sit down, pipe down, and let other people have a point of view, and particularly the young referee. I think it's very intimidating for young referees when they go to most referees association meetings. I think that's our that's to our detriment.
I very much agree, Albert. And Darren just wants to touch onto a point here that whereby we planned what areas we want to cover with you. Darren, go for it.
Yeah, I was just going to go back to the point about the mentoring that you were saying earlier on, and this is something that in podcasts, in pretty much most podcasts, the topic will come up about mentoring, and Rich is my mentor. I can't stress how important to me that has been through my refereeing. From yourself, it'd be great for our colleagues that are listening to this to, you know, come direct from the horse's mouth, just how important a mentor can be to somebody, particularly a new referee.
Yeah, I spend my life mentoring people. In fact, we've even got people in the Southampton Academy from your Somerset area who are at university here in Southampton, who I've given the opportunity to become a match official at under 18, under 19, under 21 level in the Southampton club. And these are people who have become experienced referees and done an awful lot of adult football and junior football before that, have now been able to develop their skills by the use of more senior referees. I mean, Dermot Gallagher, the ex-Premier League referee, frequently comes down to Southampton Football Club Academy, referees with two assistants with him, and lets them understand how the Premier League and the professional referees are looking at the game. Our conference very much looks at that, and that's a very important start of mentoring. But I think it's a development stage, right from the very start of somebody's career, straight out of the classroom, onto the green stuff, and then bit by bit. And this is why staying with an academy season after season is of no use whatsoever. You need to go out and see real parents, real players, and then move up in terms of the promotion and be mentored at each one of those steps. And even yesterday, I wandered around some of our local parks. We were a bit lucky. We'd covered all the games, so I was able to get myself released from an appointment I had by somebody else wanting to go out and referee. And I watched three different referees yesterday and suggested to them, one at half time, two at the end of the game, how in their game there was an instance which they could have thought about handling differently.
Okay.
So mentoring is not about saying do it my way. Mentoring is about saying there was an incident in your game. I saw it and you saw it.
Agree.
Could you do that differently?
Agree. Absolutely agree with that. But the way in which it should be done. So very quickly, before we start thinking about wrapping up this session, what are the skills that you see for a mentor? Because there's lots of people out there we would like to tempt into the idea of giving it a go and supporting our younger referees.
Yeah, I think the skills are, first of all, you need to be an experienced referee yourself. I don't think you can mentor if you haven't been a referee. I think you also need to be appreciative of many styles of football and be adapting your advice to the football that you're in. I mean, I would give different... The advice I gave somebody to the junior game yesterday was different from the lad, the one I did at half-time, because he was doing a senior game of football. And so, you just have to adapt what people's needs are. So you've got to, I think, understand the different levels of football. And certainly level four and above. And I know Neil Barry is very conscious of this when looking at the conference level of football, who get allocated a coach, for example, somebody to look at them on a regular basis. And locally, lower down the pecking order into levels five, six and seven, there's still a need to advise. But I think it's about knowing the football and also knowing the ability. I mean, you look at a referee and you think, oh, he's not going to be very good at it, but he could be better if he did this.
Yeah.
So it's giving people advice in bite-sized chunks.
Yes.
I mean, the lad I saw yesterday did his first adult game. I could have given him 101 different tips he could have done, but there were three important ones. So I think you've got to sift out the important things, and then perhaps next time you see him, there'll be things that you would have talked to him about which are now more important, and therefore you can move in a progressive way in terms of advising them.
And of course, a mentor's job can always be made easier if the person they're mentoring is really, really enthusiastic and keen as well.
Yeah, I think most people, I tend to find that most most referees, perhaps it's because they know me when I walk across the park and go, oh, God, here he comes again.
That's what they will say about Rich.
most people, I think, do think, oh, thanks, Albert. Yeah, that, I'll think about that. I level five just come back to us from Manchester. I saw him and I suggested to him it would be a good idea when he blew for half time that the ball was actually on the pitch. Because I said, you've now walked 50 yards to collect this ball. The players would have done that for you if you'd have blown the whistle at the right time.
I remember doing the same thing with Darren a couple of years ago. He wasn't a brand new referee either then.
But this was a level five. But, you know, so I think you can sort of, you know, give some people a bit. And I think you have to give it with a bit of humility. I don't think you can mentor by saying, you should do this and you should do that. Because I would have done this and I would have done that.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Unfortunately, I've refereed in Southampton now for 35 years. I don't say fame, it's not the right word, is it? My abilities go before me. So when I go out there, they go, oh, God, it's him again. And sometimes that's the manager, because I referee the manager when they were a player.
Yeah.
And so what I face as a referee is not what somebody else would face doing the same game.
Yeah. Refereeing is about personality and character.
Yeah.
And everybody has got a different personality, a different character, but it's how you use it will make you successful or not successful as quick as others.
That's right. I also think you need to have a fairly good league structure that can identify who needs help and when they need help.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky in this area that I've got appointment secretaries who are pointing out. I mean, we went to the matches yesterday where I might go out and wander around and have a look at the people on the park. And one of our guys, we've got a chap from up north, from Geordie land, who's refereeing just around the corner. And my colleague said, no point going around there, Albert, because you won't be able to tell him anything that he'll actually take on board. Mm-hmm. At regular level five, quite a good quality referee. So, you know, I think you need to know the appointment secretaries are key, I think,
definitely,
to referee development and identifying those who need help and who could benefit by help.
Most definitely.
Okay, Albert, thanks very much for your time this evening. Just very quickly before we go, let's take this opportunity to talk about the upcoming conference. So if you can tell us some details, dates, venues, what we can expect, etc.
This year's annual conference is again being held at the Hinckley Island Hotel. And it's on Saturday. It's on Saturday, the 12th of July. We have an outstanding lineup of FIFA officials, Premier League officials, and some FA training officers. Seven workshop syndicates in total. And the programme should be out very shortly. We're just at the final stages now of agreeing what the individual guest presenters are going to talk about.
Okay. And naturally, when you're there, you'll be promoting the Referees World podcast to all the people that turn up.
I tell you what, it will be nice if you could come down to our meeting. I thought you'd phone me back, but so my acting chief executive phoned me between us talking and you getting me on the landline. And I'm hopeful that he's going to send you an invitation to come down there and actually expand the fact that this is available to all those people who just may not know you exist.
Albert, thanks very much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we'll get to meet at the conference.
Good. I'll make sure that Paul drops you an invitation.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.